if you go look at Genesis 1, I'm just going to touch on some things as we go through Genesis 1 and see the order that God created in created the universe. He's not a haphazard God. He does things decently and in order. And in verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the first day, he created light and day. Second day, separated the waters from the land. The third day, the dry ground appeared, dry land appeared, and it was called earth. Created the grass and the herbs yielding seed and the fruit trees. And he did that on the third day. On the fourth day, created the sun and the moon to rule over night and day and for seasons. Fourth day. On the fifth day, he created the animals in the water and the fowl, the winged fowl, on the fifth day. On the sixth day, he brought forth the land creatures and also man. Now, I was, several years ago, I was actually wondering about all this creation evolution business. If you look in chapter 1 of Genesis, you will see after his kind several times going down through there. Grass makes grass, trees make trees. Monkeys make monkeys and cows make cows, and it goes right on down and people make people. There is no transition from one to the other. You didn't come out of a mud bog or something. God created us in his own image. And one of these days, we're going to have to answer to him. Whether we're saved or lost, we're going to have to answer to God. If we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, then Christ paid for our sins. We're going to stand before God saved. If we have rejected Christ, then we get to pay for our own sins and spend eternity in the lake of fire. Not a very pleasant picture, but we are created in God's image, and one day we'll give an account to him. There's no confusion in the creation. God created things. He created the grass before he created the animals to eat the grass. He created a perfect environment for us before he put us here. So it's an orderly, step-by-step creation. He said in Genesis 2, verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. There is no confusion in that. I don't care what this crazy world tells us. There's two sexes, male and female. God says it. It don't matter if you believe it or not. That ends it. So I know y'all already know that, but I thought I'd throw that in, no extra charge. Then we jump over and look at Noah right quick. Noah found grace in the eyes of God, and God spoke to Noah and told him, I want you to build an ark. And then he told him how to do it. He told him the kind of wood, gopher wood, told him to pitch it within and without so it wouldn't leak. Then he told him how big to make it, 300 cubits by 50 cubits by 30 cubits. That's about 450 feet long, about 75 feet wide and 45 feet high. Build three stories in the ark, put in a window, and put a door in it. He told him exactly how to do it. God is a God of order. Then if we jump over to the Levites, God separated the Levites from the rest of the children of Israel. He gave them specific duties to do. He told them how to do it. The Levites were over the tabernacle. They were over the vessels, over all things that pertain to the tabernacle. And he told them what to do. And he also said, the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. It was the Levites' responsibility. And the Lord told him how to do it. He told the sons of Aaron that they were the priest office, and that Any stranger that intruded into the priest's office would be put to death. The Levites were told certain things about moving the tabernacle. I'm just hitting the highlights here, but I'm trying to illustrate God is a God of order. The curtains had to be moved. The cords had to be done a certain way. The ark had to be handled a certain way. The candlesticks and the altars and the vessels had to be taken care of. And the Levites were to wait upon the sons of Aaron in service. So there was an order to service and to moving the tabernacle in the Old Testament. The Levites had charge of the tabernacle and the holy place, and charge of the sons of Aaron, their brethren, in the service of the house of the Lord. Can you imagine, with all the sacrifices and all the crowds and all that went on there at the tabernacle, the worship and the teaching and all that, can you imagine what it would take to take care of it? I think they did an awful lot of cleaning, an awful lot. That was their service to the Lord. And God said, I want the Levites to do this and the priests to do that. And he set up an order. In the church, we don't have specific instructions on how to do our church service. We don't have that. We have a lot of principles and guidelines, but the Bible doesn't say meet at 10 o'clock for Sunday school and 11 o'clock for preaching, and for preaching you'll have an opening song and a prayer and another song and greet people. And it don't say that. We have the ability to do that and come up with that in an orderly fashion. We need to worship God decently and in order, and that's what we're doing. God warns us over and over that, like 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. 1 Corinthians 14, 40, let all things be done decently and in order. Jerry and I have this discussion quite often, decently and in order. So, he helps me out on some of this stuff. I think he's hiding out tonight. I don't see him in here. He's probably listening to me in the lobby. But he helps me a lot with getting things done decently and in order. Philippians 2 verse 14 says, do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Colossians 3, verse 22, servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that the Lord shall receive his reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong that he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. So our God is a God of order. He gives us gifts to help in the ministry. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28, the Lord hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. I want to look tonight, spend some time looking at the gift of helps, which is sometimes translated ministry, but the word ministry is translated to wait tables. And in this verse that I just read, is the gift of helps, where we help one another. what, as I studied this, I said, I had to say, oh me, guilty as charged. But what is the gift of helps? Usually someone with the gift of helps likes to work behind the scenes and not get things done. There's a few people that are out front, mainly pastor. He's out front, you see him, everybody knows him, and he only works 3 days, 3 hours a week, you know. He don't do much. So we have to be really, really careful that we do our end. We hold up our end of the job. A person with the gift of helps likes to work behind the scenes usually. Usually a very joyful person and takes responsibility off of others. Now, I'm going to tell you some stuff tonight that I'm not bragging. I'm not promoting me. I'm just telling you how it is. Part of my goal in life, one of them is to get my ugly face in front of as many people as possible. I'm trying to learn names, and that's tough. The other part is take as much off of pastor as I possibly can and anybody else that's here. I'm trying to be a helper. And I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you. Fortunately, the Lord let me retire early enough and give me enough time and enough health and strength to be able to do what I love to do. I love it. It's aggravating sometimes, but I love it. I enjoy what we're doing. I didn't sound very humble, but usually a helper is humble. I really don't care if y'all know or not, but it's part of this lesson to help you to understand what goes on. We need to be humble. We need to sacrifice time and energy to the Lord's work. A person with the gift of helps has the ability to see what others need, sometimes even before the other folks know it, before the people even know they need it. We're paying attention, got our eyes open. To see what's going on. Somebody, one of you, told me that everywhere he looked, there I am. Well, I'm a nosy kind of a guy. I'll admit that. I'm a nosy kind of a guy. I want to know what's going on. And you see me wandering around and talking to different people, just being nosy, trying to keep up with what's going on. What do you need? So, and I, like I say, I'm not trying to promote myself, but just so you know, maybe y'all could be a little more nosy too, know what's going on. All right, so the people with this gift have no problem giving their time and energy to the Lord, see what others need, give attention to detail. They're very loyal, and they tend to go above and beyond in just about everything they do. They have a servant's heart. If somebody's trying to serve God, you can overlook a lot of mistakes. If they're putting forth the effort and they're teachable, you can overlook some mistakes. They're trying to serve God. But there's a danger in having the gift of helps. Sometimes I have this pity party. Lord, it's me. Who was it? Elisha? Lord, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one doing anything. Y'all know better than that. But that's a danger of folks that have this gift of helps. So we need to be very careful that we don't get that attitude. There's another danger, too, that people will take advantage of us. I keep saying us, of the people that's got helps, the gift of helps. But we can live with that. It's a matter of balance. We don't want to be overbearing. We want to be balanced. There's a time to worship God. There's a time to serve Him, and we need to be balanced in all that we do. To keep the services of the church running, there takes an awful lot of different activities. Let me try to give you a couple the folks that help do all kinds of different jobs. In the Bible, there are some examples. If we look at Romans 16, verses 1 and 2, I commend you unto you, Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is in Synchretia, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she has been a succorer of many, and myself also. She's a servant, one who renders service to another. And a succorer is a woman who supports the activities of a person or organization, and who protects, supports, and sponsors someone. So Phoebe was a big help to Paul and to the church where she was. In Mark chapter 15, verses 40 and 41, there were women that helped Jesus. In verse 41, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women came up with him unto Jerusalem. I don't know what all they did. They probably provided food, maybe let him live in their homes. Whatever needs Jesus had, these women met his needs and helped him in his ministry. In Acts chapter 9, verse 36, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. She had pity and compassion upon others. She was full of good works. Now, she was a helper to whoever needed help. In, let's see, 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, whom to be praise and dominion forever and ever. Peter sums it up here. We should not do things to make ourselves look great. We should do it for the glory of God. If we have that attitude to do things for the glory of God, then a lot of aggravation won't be aggravation. We'll just chalk it up to ministry. Here's some suggested ways to use the gift of helps. This is where I'm probably going to get a little bit nosy, but maybe y'all won't throw any rotten tomatoes at me. Do you realize a Sunday school teacher is a helper? Pastor can't teach everybody at one time. He can't teach little children and older children and teenagers. You're a helper. You got to prepare. You got to take your time, your very valuable time, and study your lesson. Get up a little bit earlier and be here 15 minutes early for your class, so when students come in, people start coming in about 9:30 in the morning. They start coming in at 9:30. So, 9:45, you might have a room full of children or adults or whatever. But anyway, teachers or helpers, teachers' aides. Maybe you're somebody that wants to learn to teach. You have that desire to teach, but you need a little help. Maybe you can join with somebody. We have Joanne Coffey and Brenda Smith team teach. They one takes a week, another takes a week, and that works out real well for them. Years ago, in another church, we had two men that team taught. They worked different shifts, and they would switch off each week. Teachers' aides are important. Meal coordinator, we just had a real need for that, and Natalie took care of it, coordinating meals for somebody, Mallory. So from time to time, that's an important ministry of helps. We have ushers that help folks find their seat, I hope, find their seat or direct them to the proper class. I know Jerry's been working some with the greeters to greet folks when they first come in. My personal opinion, that's a very valuable ministry to greet visitors and greet members coming in. Open the door for them. Say something nice. Smile. Get the names of visitors. I mean, that's an important gift of helps. The teen ministry. We're really blessed with Jason Wills and Becca Davis. What's your name? Jacob Haney and Jerry Hood are all working with the teens now as required. That's a real blessing. And it's a gift of helps. Takes the children's ministry. We have children's church. I tell Tracy and Jimmy, you guys are out of my sight. And I'm ashamed to say it, but a lot of times you're out of my thoughts and prayers too. They take the junior church. They're out of sight. They're out of mind. They're doing a good job. A gift of helps. You've got the primary church. I think there's four ladies that take time about teaching the younger children. Very important ministry. And then I told Lisa I was going to talk about her. I don't hear a whole lot, but I hear Lisa begging for nursery workers. Begging. It's not right for two people or three to be in the nursery all the time. It's just simply not right. She needs help. We don't have an overabundance of babies, but it takes two people with one baby. If there's one baby in there or one young child, we need two people. So the nursery workers, a gift of helps, and it's a very valuable. I can even remember being in services with this cutest little baby. I don't mean to throw rocks. I'm just this cutest little baby. And you know what happens? My eyes watch the little baby. I'm not paying attention to what the Word of God says. I'm totally distracted watching something. I'm telling you, the nursery is a very valuable ministry. It gives other people the chance to hear God's Word without distraction. Of course, I'm old enough to remember sitting in service, and if I misbehave, I was paddled from the rear. So it's a totally, it's a necessary ministry. And Lisa, we thank you. There's camps. We just talked about that. Caitlin Boyd helped with camp, and Nathan and Jacob all helped with camp, teen and junior camp. We appreciate that. Vacation Bible School took a ton of workers and a ton of work. The gift of helps. Most of the workers were not out front people. They were behind the scenes. They were helpers in the class. They were helped with the decorations. They helped with the snacks and the crafts and all that. Very valuable ministry for the gift of helps. And then there's administrative helps. Oh no, I'm out of time and I'm not half through. My favorite job, taxes have to be done once a month. Randy, where are you? The bus has to be maintained. We don't want Carol pushing the bus while Randy's driving and out of gas. It has to be checked. Has to be inspected every so often. It's just one thing after another. They have to have tags, vehicle tags and all that. So there's a lot of different things. Thankfully, you have allowed me to hang around here, and I've been able to help with that. I'm willing to teach anybody anything about the administrative end of it and keeping up with all the details. The air conditioner people have to be scheduled. The fence people are coming to look at some safety issues that the insurance company brought up. The sound booth. If the sound guys aren't here, we're in trouble for one thing, because nobody can operate it except for the sound guys. And the other thing is, most of the helpers never know when they did a good job unless they mess up. We all always know when we mess up, especially Jerry. He missed. You know how ants are? You can kill them all today. Tomorrow, their rascals are back. So it takes a lot of work by a lot of people. Bus drivers. It wouldn't break my heart to have another CDL driver. That would be a good thing. The doors have to be locked and the bathrooms checked and the lights turned out. It only takes one person going behind you and leave a light on, and that's what happened to the big church over here in Fort Mill. They left the fan running in one of the bathrooms and started a big fire over there. So all of that stuff has to be turned off and checked. The gift of helps is very important. It frees up others to do the work of the ministry. The Holy Spirit enables us to be helpers. Not everybody's got that gift, but I think a lot of people do. The question is, are you doing all that you can do for the glory of God? We have a pastor who's doing all he can do. I was just joking about 3 hours a week. Y'all know better than that. Who is the guy you call in the middle of the night when you need help? Pastor. Pastor. Who is it you call on your off day when he's out in the river fishing? On his off day, pastor. But it takes an army of the rest of us to do the ministry so that the out front folks can do their ministry. So let me encourage you, do what you can do. Don't worry about getting the honor and the glory for it. God will deal with that later on. We don't know how God's going to reward anyway except for faithfulness. Let me encourage you, do all you can do to serve the Lord. And a lot of this you chalk up to ministry. I have to confess, in a lot of ways, I'm a miserable failure. My neighbors come over here and scatter trash down the highway. And being the lazy rascal I am, I didn't pick it up this morning. Guess who picked up the trash? Pastor. I fell down on the job. It takes a lot of people doing a lot of work to have a decent place to worship God. So let me encourage you. I've said everything I know. So, Pastor, we're going to have an invitation and close the service. And I got you out right at 7, so you shouldn't be too hungry. But it takes a lot of work, and I'm thankful for all of you helping out and allowing me to hang around.
Standing.